for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Get it on. Gotta get it on.
You're tired. You've been drinking. What's the problem?
Gonna get it on. Gotta get it on.
Don't you drop trowel. You don't got the energy to drop trowel. Don't do it. Don't do it. Adam, he will. Chris, he will drop trowel.
Watch me drop trowel.
Chris, give me the nod. He said you can do it. Don't do it.
I'm gonna drop trowel.
So, I was, I think at the beginning of the show, was coming home today at about 2 in the afternoon, heading up Steep Hill Barham or Barham Boulevard. And that's two lanes.
And
goes up over the pass.
Two lanes each way.
And goes over the pass. And cars move pretty good there. We're about 45, 50.
There are never police there.
When it's clear. People move.
Don't tell me.
Nope. Came up on a beat-up VW bus that was stalled. You know what I realized? This is why we can never go to any calls, because I was going to start talking about this person who we helped out. And it just reminded me, look, everybody, dear MFers, when your car breaks down, get out of the goddamn lane. You understand? You're going 40. Maybe you're on the freeway and you're doing 75, 80. And yes, the car overheats or it throws a timing belt or something goes wrong with the transmission. Start making your way over to the shoulder.
Oh, they just stay in the lane and keep going?
Everybody does. You see people broken down in the lane all the time.
I assume it's because they just went out. Just pow, nothing you can do.
Yeah, but what do you mean nothing? That the tires don't lock up? I mean, you've had it where you've gotten flats and you're going along the freeway and you get a blow. You just start moving your way over.
Yeah.
It's like you become, you know what you become like? You become like a pilot coming in for crash landing. It's like on go the hazards, on go the blinkers, start flipping things off, start turning things on, signal on and start moving over.
You know, I had once an electrical failure in the tunnels going out of Los Angeles on the 110.
Made it over.
Made it out, but just coasted.
That's my point. There's two things that people do in this godforsaken town. One is they have some kind of car difficulty and they act like, well, that's the end of this line. I won't be moving over the shoulder. Secondly, they get in these very small fender benders and they treat it like it's the O.J. crime scene. Start running yellow tape and putting, get the F out of the way. You're blocking the whole intersection. Just back it out, would you?
Right.
You got 30 cents worth of chrome that's been scratched. Back it out. Jesus Christ.
Yep.
All right, anyway. I got things to say. So this woman, by the way, let me tell you something. The people who drive VW buses, and I'm talking about
Vintage. With the windows up on the
Not the 22 light ones or whatever the hell they are. I'll tell you why, because those are worth like 40 grand. That's why.
Really?
The people that drive VW buses are insane. There's always something wrong with them. And so this person, We almost rear-ended because they just were stopped and everyone was flying up at the hill there they are.
No good,
there they are. And my wife's like, we got to help them. We got to help them. And now, meanwhile, there's a whole shoulder that they haven't managed to get into. Just a whole shoulder, and they've just taken up the lane. And people are swerving around. The person's going to get T-boned.
No. Obviously, you would not have done this on your own.
No.
She makes you do it. So what happened? You get out there.
My wife's like, look, we got to... she's nuts. Leave her alone. And first off, I don't know if it's a dude or a guy. It's that old, greasy, long, gray hair, which by the way, does anything scream crazy more than the greasy, straggly, gray, long hair? You know the gray hair that's greasy?
Yeah,
does anything scream nutty? It just shouts from the mountaintop. I'm insane! So I did that. Look, it's some crazy fill in the blank. I don't know if it's a guy or a dude. Come on, let's keep driving. No, we got to go. So we circled back and we went around. I pulled the car up in front of her and I was like, it was a woman. And I said, look, you got to back the car down and slide it into this shoulder. And she was like, I'll lose control of the car. I said, no, just pop it out of gear, put your foot on the brake, and just roll it down and slide it into the shoulder. She's in the right lane, and there's a whole wide open shoulder. I don't think I can do it. Do it. Just roll. You're going to get you're going to get nailed in a second. Just roll it back. By the way, once you get in the shoulder, both lanes completely clear. Just you're on a steep incline. Just roll it back and tuck it in like you're parallel parking. There's no cars parked on the shoulder or anything. So I'll do it. So she gets in the car, and I'm sitting there in our car parked in front of her. I'm in the lane too, and first thing that happens is hazards go off. Like, because now I'm now driving.
Oh, my God.
Even though the car's not running and I'm rolling
backwards
toward the traffic, it's like, well, hazard's off. That's enough of that.
Oh, my God.
We're no longer stationary. Hazard's coming off. It's like, and I'm like, oh, my God, the hazards are off. This thing's covered with dirt. It's like beige. And she's rolling toward the traffic now. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to get this fireball.
I'm
thinking, look, we got, first, here's what I'm doing. I snapped in action, started taking the plates off our car. I don't need trouble with the law. You know, when anyone dropping a dime on me.
Oh, my God.
So she takes the hazards off, which is great, rolls it back, and I'm doing that thing where I'm talking. Okay. I'm looking at her. I'm talking, okay, good. You're rolling in. Okay, cut it. No, just jams it in. So now the car sort of, the front
half
end
out,
is hanging
yeah.
into, like, oh, couldn't. Hanging into the goddamn traffic, you know. It's okay. It's like my wife's like, we should leave, and I'm like, shit, turn the hazards off. Well, maybe they just went. Oh, would you shut up? And by the way, here's my proof. They went right back on the second she wedged herself in the curb. So during the incredibly risky part of the maneuver, the hazards were off. I guess she could have lit a smoke pot off in the back to obscure the view a little more. She didn't do that. So now she's wedged into the side of the thing, and she's like, look, I just put $30 of gas in the car, but I was down at the Mexican market, and I think they siphoned it. This is, by the way, a woman that had like a recliner and
gosh.
A banjo and some lawn furniture in the back of her car, looked like she someone broke her out of an insane asylum.
Did you ask what the gauge says?
The gauge is zero. No, the gauge is zero because I said what's it? She said, no. So she gave me a gas can. And we went to the gas station, and...
no way. You didn't do
that. Yeah, yeah. Went to the gas station, filled the thing up, and my wife and I just start yelling at each other halfway.
No, you're yelling at her. What are you talking about?
Well,
she's yelling back at you.
I lifted the thing. It was a little slosh at the bottom of the, and I lifted the thing off, and I was sniffing it.
To because, see if it was water or something,
Of course. And my wife's like, would you stop? And would you shut up? Jesus Christ.
All right, women. Let me guess.
Fill the thing up.
Take it back.
I can't figure out how to work the thing. I finally figure out cars are whizzing by. Of course, the front end is hanging out. She tells her to get in the car, fires it up. Takes off.
Oh, there was
no gas. I'll tell you how you know no gas. I'll tell you how you know when there's a hill involved. Oftentimes no gas because the pickup for the tank is like in the middle of the tank, and so as the car goes uphill,
you lose it. Yeah.
Whatever. If you had a mouthful of gas left, it slides to the man. Doesn't. It's like your straw when your cup's leaned over and you're in the theater, and you don't got
Nobody's
it in the low part.
Her gas though, no way.
No. She's clearly
she just
insane.
Forgot to get the
she's
gas.
She's insane. Yeah. Yes. But the point
siphon
is
the gas.
Got her. Here's what this is leading to. I said to my wife, call the highway patrol or something like that. Like, look, I don't, this woman looks like she has hepatitis. She's probably got a dog in there. It's going to bite me. I'm going to get cleaned out, by the way, because this chick didn't put an extra quarter in her tank because cars are flying up the hill. It's Sunday. There's no traffic. People are making time. Called the highway patrol. They said, call 911. And then, of course, 911. And, of course, it was busy. And then 911 and on hold for 15 minutes. And eventually had to hang up and risk life and limb out on the highway.
Our friend Beth got robbed tonight.
Yes.
Did you talk to her?
Yes, I did.
And she couldn't get through to the police.
Okay.
Wait, Carolla, you called 911?
Thank you. Here's my point. Yes, I called 911.
But now he's got a whole new rant.
You've never done that, though, right?
I've never called 911.
He did it because the highway patrol told him to.
Thank you. And I did it on someone else's behalf.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of exciting the first time you got to
do it. It is nice that I've had my 911 cherry popped this afternoon. But I didn't want to do it because that was the whole thing. It's like, don't call 911. You got a crazy brawn of microbus out here. Let's get a tow truck. We know. No. Here's what I'm really realizing.
Yeah.
5% of our society monopolizes 911. It's the couple that can't get their ass together with the more domestic violence. It's the effed up old person that's got nowhere else to go and nothing to live for, picking up the phone because the neighbor's playing the stereo too loud. There's something going on. By the way, crime is supposed to be down like 50%. How come the 911 is busy? And I really do believe that there, you could ask 20 people if they've ever called 911. Between the 20 of them, you'd average a half a call in 30 years. And then one person has called 126 times. Right. That's the person I want eliminated. How come we can't single them out? What's wrong? And then everyone's argument is, well, yeah, but if we start doing that, then the next time, oh, shut up. So what? They don't call the next time. And by the way, if the person actually seeing someone being stabbed or raped in the alley behind their house, I think they still will call 911, even if we gave them a little admonishment like, hey, listen, take it easy with that stuff. You got to make sure it's a real problem.
Right. Our admonishment would be, hey, next time it's a $500 fine.
Yeah.
Unless
there's something happening. Yeah. Or do we just need more 911 operators? What's going on? Who's calling it? Who's booking? Like, here's the deal. I don't know. My thing is look, I was thinking to myself, my God, if I was hiding in the closet of our bedroom as I was listening to my wife being brutally raped, because, you know, that's where I'm going to be. This is a little safer.
Yeah. You'll be in the basement.
In the basement. Yeah. And I'm calling 911 and I'm on hold, I'll be going berserk.
Of course.
I'll be going berserk.
Yeah.
Berserk because some old biddy has a cat up in a tree or wants a neighbor to turn the stereo down.
How helpless you feel. How about Beth tonight? She couldn't get through.
I know. A friend of ours got mugged. You'd be on hold. You were on hold. Well, we were on hold for as long as it took to get frustrated and just do it ourselves. What's going on? Can we rectify this? And by the way, as a city, you should not be able to pass go or collect $200. It should be like, look, we can't talk about anything until the 911. This is numero uno.
Yeah.
This is it. Street lights. Education. No.
Yeah.
Oh, a subway? No. 911.
Yeah.
Someone's got to pick up each and every time. That's it. End of discussion. And more operators, crack down on people are calling. I think we'll find our balance. I don't know why. It's never discussed. There's never a PSA. All we do is hear these goddamn public service announcements explaining about the dangers of airplane turbulence or, getting your laptop stolen at the airport. They seem to be obsessed with the airport. Oh, God forbid, somebody smoke on the beach, a secondhand smoke, first-rate killer. We hear about everything. But, hey, you old F, don't call 911 unless it means something. Or we'll come over there and beat your ass with the receiver. How come? There's two major things that go on in the city. The other thing is graffiti on every single sign now.
You'll never hear about that.
Every single. Come on out to Los Angeles, everybody. You want to see graffiti on every goddamn sign, every stop sign, every yield sign, every freeway sign.
Every wall, every rock, every curb.
Every goddamn open spot in this entire effing city is filled with graffiti, and I've never heard word one about it from anybody ever. Nothing. Zero. It's a non-problem.
Well, it's a zero problem. They're focusing on the response rate at 911. They've got it down to 20 minutes.
Does this city suck, or is it just me? I mean, if I moved to Seattle, would I be thinking the same thing? It's just turned into like just a turd. It's like driving through Beirut. You drive on the freeway. Imagine you're driving through every single freeway, every sign, every big off-ramp sign. I'm not talking about the phone box sign or the caller or the yield. I'm talking about the overhead sign over the bridge. Everyone has barbed wire and
razor wire
and graffiti. It's what I imagine East Berlin to be like somewhere in the mid-70s.
Yes, the mid-70s, exactly.
That's what I figured.
Certainly not now. They take care of that.
It's like some sort of post-apocalyptic video game that you drive through, and nothing. Nobody ever mentions it. Well, all we hear about is get your pets spayed and neutered. Could you get your pets spayed? Hi, I'm Betty White. Hey, could you get your... Oh, shut up. Why can't we talk about the obvious? Dude, let's just do this. We talk about everything else in this godforsaken city.
That's a big thing. I agree with you.
I couldn't imagine. And by the way, they don't know the difference between someone who needs them and someone who doesn't. 911's an emergency. If I was calling today and it was an actual emergency, somebody would be dead. Rebecca?
Yes?
Fantastic. What's happening?
Oh, I don't know. I took the morning after pill at 12 yesterday, and I knew it wasn't going to be home at 12 that night when I was supposed to take the second one, Plan B or whatever.
Right.
And so I took it at early.
What time?
Early.
A few hours early.
6 hours early.
Ooh, 6 hours early.
Took it at 6.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That's interesting. I don't know what that would necessarily do to this. It should still work. The question is, should you take another dose?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the night before, I'd had unprotected sex. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They did that little quick urine test thing at the doctor's.
Mm-hmm. To make sure you weren't pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You went to the doctor just to check on that?
No, I was going to the doctor to be put on birth control.
Great.
Mm.
Excellent.
All right.
What birth control pill did you get put on?
I got put on the patch, and I started it today.
All right, then you should be fine. Wow. You should be fine.
I will.
Yeah,
you'll be fine. Rebecca, you got that little girl voice. Everything okay?
I guess.
Mm-hmm. You weren't traumatized, sexually abused, or anything growing up?
No.
Who?
No. All right. But you are calling from Riverside. That's a form of abuse.
Yeah.
All right, baby doll. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, as much as I make fun of Riverside, I bet you call 911 in Riverside, someone picks up the phone.
Probably right. Yeah.
Look, and here's the thing. Everybody's like, well, you know, the system is overtaxed. We don't have the money. By the way, I can't figure out what we have the money for and what we don't have the money
this
for.
This is why the Valley wants to secede, because that's the Valley we're talking about. There was no response. Yeah.
We don't have the money. We don't really. You buy a new fleet of goddamn right-hand drive Chevettes for the meter-made pussies every year. You don't have the money? How about one of those Chevettes would keep someone in operator seat for a year? How about that? Number one. Number two, don't care about that part. I'm interested in put my foot in the ass of the guy who has 15 calls in the last 14 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know that guy?
Mm-hmm.
That's who I want to start. I'm going with elderly. I'm going with old. A little crazy. I'm going to try to figure it out.
I don't think they're the... No,
I don't blame the ethnicities for this one, Drew.
I
blame for the reason they make the call, but not for the one who's actually calling. And that's the guy I'm interested in. You know what I'm saying?
I think the real perpetrators are younger types.
Really?
I bet you.
What else? What are you talking about?
Hit the neighbor's mailbox with a baseball bat. That's that guy.
He's not making the call.
Well, he's creating his family. That's the family.
Okay, all right. There are two elements that need to be squashed. Yeah. There's the one guy who gets in the huge blowout with his old lady every single time he drinks a 12-pack, and that's three times a week, so the cops get summoned to the house constantly. These guys are just sort of perpetual summoners. If someone has to keep coming out to the house, there's that one. But then there's the people who feud with their neighbors and use the cops as their whatever, and then there's the ones that just have the cops do their sort of legwork for them. Like, I don't want to go to the neighbor's house and tell him to turn the stereo down or tell him to quit working on his Camaro in the garage after the streetlights are on, so I'll just call 911 and get the cops to go do it.
Three different guys.
Okay.
I think we have three different categories.
All right, and by the way, shouldn't we just have a 912 for the chicken ass stuff, which has got to be 90% of it, and leave the 911 for the emergency stuff?
It's a great idea.
I can't be the first person to think of this. Yeah. By the way, there's an old crazy woman in a VW bus who stalled in Toluca Lake, and the highway patrol says call 911. Using that logic, who can't call 911 for what?
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, that's right.
I made a solid BM. With call 911.
Right.
I got a brain freeze. I drank my smoothie too fast. 911. I'm having an erectile disability.
911.
Yep. There's not a 912. Like, we don't want a difference between the old crazy woman who's ran out of gas and the person who's hiding in their bedroom because they just heard the window break and someone's coming up the stairs. No difference.
Can't judge. Same.
What? That? I got to think of this.
I'm looking at this thing online right now, and it has like a breakdown of the number of calls. Mm-hmm. And it's just under 500,000 calls per year for this one little. They don't give me the area, but it's this small little area.
Yeah.
And about 1/5 of those calls are wrong. Are non-emergencies, and 23,000 of them are wrong numbers.
Well, wrong
how
number.
Do you call 911 wrong number? Though?
Somebody may have a speed dial.
Here's what it is: you're drunk and you're stupid, and you're thinking 411. And by the way, should we have them be that close?
Yeah.
Should we? Could we go ahead? I mean. I mean, what percentage of retards are going to do the 411 when they mean the 911 and vice versa? Do you know what I'm saying?
Several thousand, obviously.
Look, I'm closing my eyes and picturing my entire family. All right? They're doing it. All right. That's what it is. That's it. 911 operator picks up, and my mom's saying, "Where's the ore box?"
So one-fifth, four-fifths are actual emergencies. Anderson.
That's what they're claiming, yeah.
Yeah.
They don't tell us what the one-fifth non-emergencies
are. Yeah, they don't define an emergency. Yeah.
And by the way, the actual emergencies aren't actual.
Right, half of those aren't emergencies.
Not even half. All right. Let's just
sort of at the calendar signing, Adam, we're at this weekend. Non-emergency ambulance visit.
Yeah. Oh, Drew angry. Talk about that next.
This is from an area, a total landline, 780,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then almost 500,000 phone calls. So almost every single phone had a phone call from it.
If it were spread out equitably, yes.
This is my point. There's 700 lines. 700 lines, there's 500 phone calls, and 10,000 people made 475,000 of the calls. That's what I know to be true in life. And these people F it up for all of us, and we just go right along with it. And by the way, all the laws that are in place are because of this small 5% of a-holes.
But the way the laws are configured now, they protect the 5%.
That's right.
They don't hold them accountable.
They need to be squashed.
411 costs money. All you got to do is, if it's not an emergency, 911 will cost you
absolutely
money. Cost you like 15, 20 bucks.
More than that.
What does?
It's a buck for 411, so you've
got to give them 911 charges for non-emergency calls.
Yeah, I'm with you. Alan?
Yeah.
23?
Laughing time is over.
What's up?
Yeah, actually, I have possibly two questions, but the second one's probably not going to be important. First one is, me and my girlfriend, we have problems with doing doggy style, going in from behind. I have
By the way, I've been here for coming on 10 years. Drew's been here for 20 years. Doggy style, we got it. Behind. Hold on. Stop the presses. Behind.
Well, doing it from behind.
Behind. Yeah. What's... Hold on a second.
What is that? Describe that. What's he talking about?
I can't picture it.
Yeah.
All right. So...
That's all right. I know.
Doggy style. And you can't... Now, what's the difficulty?
Just is hard to go in and stay in. But missionary and other positions are pretty much no problem, which is
it's not so bothering. It suggests that she's having some sort of muscular spasm when she's in that position, and maybe it's uncomfortable to her. Maybe she's sort of pushing it out because she's anticipating it being uncomfortable. She tightens up, spasming, and that's that.
All right.
Lockout.
Yeah, well, does it feel? Can you feel any contraction or anything, Alan?
Not really.
Drew, what do you mean locked out?
It's anticipation of an uncomfortable experience.
Is that what it feels like, or does it feel like you can't find the angle? All right. He's bored with his own question.
Let's hear what the second question is. I think I got
no. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? How about you just stab yourself in the neck with this pen? Would that be better?
It's good.
I bet it would be better radio. All right, let's take a break.
All right.
Let's get it on, too.
Let's break it down.
We got a Germany or Florida when we come back.
Yeah.
Tay, we went out and signed some calendars this weekend, and this accordion countdown.
Sweeping the nation.
Now, let me explain something. Let me explain something, how I work. I usually don't... to have any feedback on anything we do, because I never talk to anybody about anything, and there's no one I know who listens to the show.
There you go.
Once in a while, we get a little feedback, and it's usually that sucks, it's lame, that sucks. And then if one person out of 100 says they like it, that's good for another 5 years of doing the bit. Well, you kids are in trouble now, because we had almost everyone come up to us and say they love the Ace's Mexican Ranchero Accordion Countdown.
And I would say... Majority of those were of Hispanic descent.
Well, there were some descent. It was hard to tell what they were. L.A. now is just such a hodgepodge of descents that we're all descending into hell. I don't even know what it is.
It's black and white, Hispanic and black.
Let me tell you what L.A. is. L.A. is, it used to be a fruit salad where everything was on top of each other, but you could tell the difference between the grapes and the melon.
Yeah.
It just got put in a blender.
Yeah.
And now it's just a brown puree. I don't even know what it is. It tastes good. It's good.
Gets along fine,
but it's just a brown puree. I don't even know what it is. Don't care. Doing the Ranchero Countdown. All right. Take a quick break. Yeah, see, Engineer Chris is what he's exactly like what I'm talking about. It's one of those smoothies.
Thanks.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. You see AMAs tonight?
About 3 minutes of it.
American Music Awards?
I saw Kathy Griffin.
Oh, she was on that?
Trying to marry Clay Aiken.
Hmm. I didn't see that bit.
In a white wedding dress, trying to marry him.
Jimmy Kimmel host, of course, and it was good. It's just the part I saw, at least. I haven't seen the whole thing.
Where was it?
It's at the Shrine,
really,
as far as I know. I was there last year, and not in the audience, but just backstage writing some jokes, and... aging Dick Clark stormed into the small room I was in watching a monitor at a certain point, like during a commercial, and looked at me and said, "Jimmy, get out there." All right, old man, I'll go out there. May drop the F-bomb. Now, it's hard to tell whether he just saw us both on the man show and just sort of did one of those things, or it was sort of dark and it looked like him.
No, he just couldn't.
I don't understand. And by the way, let me tell you something about Dick Clark. He's 75 years old. He has, well, some people say $250 million, $300 million. He's, somewhere around in the quarter billion mark. Everybody in this society is like, and he still goes to work every day. Oh my God. Oh, my. You know what? He gets up in the morning. He goes to work. We respect it. I think you're a nut job. And not only a nut job, there's something about your wife you don't like. Or your family, or whatever it is, you're looking to get out of the house. And people respect that. Look, here's what you look. You got $300 million and you're 75 years old. You should be looking for ways to burn through it before you go. All right, now quiet down. Quiet down. I know. Drew's going to go, "Oh, look, what are you supposed to do?
No. I would say
you should be setting up charities.
Absolutely.
You should be looking for cures.
You should not be trying to make $310 million. You should be trying to set up altruistic organizations for people and give yourself a little low-key structure to pay back
and
society.
And forget that crap where I'm giving $500,000 to sickle cell research. I'm doing the 911 thing. I'm saying, listen, everybody. You see these lackeys behind me? They're getting, they're each getting $28,000 a year. You know all they're going to be doing? They're going to be answering the phone. All right? Now, by the way, with the $1 million I donate, I can have 10 of these guys going for 30 years.
Well, we have two 911 operators and a paramedic on the line.
Yeah.
Let's see what's going on.
Well, meanwhile, people are dying, and he's on hold. Now, who are we talking
to? Start with Ray, the 911 operator.
All right. Because
he's from a big city.
Ray.
Ray, hey. Adam Ray. Drew.
What's happening, brother, man?
Oh my God.
If this guy answered the phone when I dialed 911, I would die.
What's happening? So you're a 911 operator?
Actually, I work as a medic in San Jose, and I've listened to your story, and I was just blown away, and it's so true. You guys have been listening and taking calls from stupid people for 15 years. There are hundreds and millions and millions and millions of people out there that call 911 for BS. The last call we had, guy called 911 because he had lint in his belly button, and it freaked him out, and he wants to go to the emergency room and have it looked at.
Right. And my feeling is... it's your prerogative to call. Look, I can stand up in a crowded theater and start yelling fire. There's nothing you can do to stop me from doing that. If there's no fire, I'm going to get arrested.
Now, Dre, you're not being facetious. This is actually somebody calling with the lint in the belly button.
Right.
That's how entitled and nutty people are.
And here's the thing. Once we weed you out is one of the nut jobs who does it, you lose your 911 privileges.
And you know, nut job is too kind a term. It does disservice to nutty people.
Okay.
It's something else. We need a new term for it.
Self-entitled a-hole.
Right, entitled a-hole.
Here's my point. You get, here's the thing. You can have, it's like the three strikes rule. You get a couple of questionable calls to 911, and then you're out. No longer. We don't respond. I don't care if you call and they say you're on fire and being raped and being stabbed. And the penis that's going in you is on fire. You get nothing. Have a nice day. We hang right up on you. I really do believe that there's just a small percentage of this society that's effing it up for everyone else. And instead of squashing that very small percentage so all the sane people can have an enjoyable life, we dance around them and accommodate them. We empower them. And we're like, if somebody said, look, I want to make some sort of legislation that if you call 911, it's a bogus call, it's going to cost you $500. How about that? There'd be all these left-wing pusses coming out, ACLU and everyone. Well, then people are going to be frightened. Hey, you slippery Seville. Shut up.
But people who call don't have money.
I know.
It doesn't matter anyway. You're right.
I know.
That's your point.
I know. That's why I only want you guys to roll on calls for taxpayers. That's another one, too. Yeah, I got to see a stub. I got to see a recent pay stub. Recent pay stub.
Oh, God.
And by the way, do you have to put recent in front of pay stub? Like, if I'm going to see pay stub, and you see one from 1934?
I know it's not the one I want to see.
That's why I'm working on Transcontinental Railroad.
Anything. We'll run
dust off it. All right, so you work.
By the way, a good way to nail the ultra rich people too that don't pay taxes.
Yeah,
people that find ways out of paying taxes. Yeah, you relinquish your right to the services.
Yeah,
but at least they find rides to the hospital. You know, they've got their auntie who's got millions of dollars. At least they can find a ride. It's the people
right.
who are cold
right.
who want a ride to the hospital that eat up everybody's tax dollars. It's unbelievable.
Right. All right. Well, I just you're an EMT.
Paramedic.
Okay. Here's, what's the difference between an EMT and a paramedic?
Paramedic can push drugs and EMTs can't.
Uh-huh. When you say push, you mean put something into somebody.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. All the drugs
okay.
you can think of.
Good. Okay. Because I'm talking about a little something called mercy killing. I'm just talking about taking out the garbage. You know what I mean? Let's just, remember, a little weed and seed process. You know what I mean? Guy calls up, maybe it's the third or fourth time you've seen the guy, another bogus call, he's got the lint in the belly button, he's on disability, he's been sucking off the teat of the state for a couple of years now, beat the crap out of his old lady, just a little something in the IV, a little air, a little something, just put him down, keep moving, society's not going to miss him, we got an operator freed up now, his old lady's on the mend, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Save a few bucks from the government, huh?
Good times.
A little mercy killing. All right. John?
Yeah, John.
You're 21?
Yep, 21 in the Tacoma area. How's it going?
Tacoma, Washington.
Yes, Tacoma, Washington.
911 dispatcher?
Yep, an actual 911 dispatcher.
And is there a difference between a 911 operator and a 911 dispatcher, or is that the same thing?
No, pretty much the same thing. There's two worlds to 911. One is the taking calls from the public, and then the other is actually dispatching police and fire out to whatever you need them to go to.
Mm-hmm.
You do both?
So, yeah, we do both. We circulate between the different positions on a shift.
So, and by hold on a second. By the way, if you know, they'll after the crime, they'll release the 911 call. You know, they'll play the 911 call. It's always horrifying.
Yeah.
Here's what mine would sound like today. Huh? Why? What's going on? I'm on hold. Oh, all right. Crazy old broad. We should go home. You want to go home? Are you still on hold? Yeah, I'm on hold. Okay. Still on? Yeah. All right, should we? And then an argument. You'd hear an argument in the background. That would be my 911 call. They may release the tape. Yeah. All right. So now you're calling from Washington.
Yeah, we're not saying that all 911, by the way, is faulty. We're saying in the city of Los Angeles, it's particularly distressing.
Tell us how it works in Tacoma.
Well, basically, you have a population like about 1 million people or so, and I'm in the Tacoma area. I don't want to say exactly where I am, but. You have a population of about 1 million people, and at any time you can have between 3 to 15 people taking calls for that 1 million population.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could just imagine some
right.
catastrophe happening, you can get, 300 people calling at once, and that's why you can
right.
get so many hold calls. And
right.
I can imagine in Los Angeles you'd have a huge amount of those.
Yeah, well, I would imagine that because our city is, you know, 10 to 25 times the size, we probably have four more operators, by the way. I could imagine that. And yeah. And most of them have a difficulty with the language. Yes. I'm fully prepared. There's nobody I've ever spoken to on the phone in this city that doesn't have a little bit of difficulty with the language. So that would be the
final. Even if English is the only language they speak.
That would be the final insult as I'm being, ritualistically murdered in my own home.
Sodomized with the flaming penis.
Flaming penis. Yeah. 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 So you guys have now, how often, if you call in Tacoma, is the line busy? Or do you have any way of knowing?
Well, I don't have access to the statistics, but it does happen. And it happens more so during the daytime because that's when it's most
active. But John, you understand something. It only happens here.
Right.
Hold is what you get when you call.
Really?
Period.
Absolutely.
And I would say, I've heard people say it's 20 minutes is not unreasonable. And we had a friend, Rob, tonight who was on hold for 20 minutes.
What about the difference between you guys don't have a difference between 911 and another number that you could call for a general dispute?
There is.
Yes, there is.
There is. There's 911, and then there's the 10-digit 911, which, you know, you can call from L.A. and you can get our 911 center. And then there's the non-emergency number, which it seems nobody ever uses.
That's the PSA.
All right. That's
the PSA right
that's
there.
That's what we need. That's the public service announcement. Not just call. Please call 911,
don't call
911.
Unless
it's an life-threatening emergency. Attention all tards. Call the other number to your heart's content. Don't call 911 unless it's an emergency.
You know,
by the way, if you do call 911 and it's not an emergency,
charge.
There's going to be a penalty.
Yeah.
That's all. No, we don't have that one here. We do have
when did we decide that you don't create forces to mold people into proper behavior? You know what I mean? We've spent 30 years of deciding
1969
people. Yeah, 65 or something. We decided that people need to be supported in disgusting, aberrant behavior. That's what we need people to be reinforced for.
Right.
Not shaped into something that's good for all of us. And them, too.
All I'm saying is all this horrible city we live in, known as Los Angeles, the only public service announcements you ever see is
the
secondhand smoke, and then there's this sort of general one, which is people of a thousand different races and every different gender telling you not to discriminate against people with AIDS. Mm. You know, that's sort of like, look, if I was planning on a hate crime,
you go for an AIDS patient.
No, this commercial's not going to stop me.
Oh.
And by the way, I'm not. And I'm semi-insulted that I'm sitting here watching you, having you explain to me that I shouldn't discriminate against whatever. That's all we do. Just chicken-ass nonsense. This nonsense, sort of pie in the sky, smoke in the ass, make everyone feel good. Hey, we went and did something. We got people not to discriminate against people with AIDS. Whatever that means. And by the way, like I said, do you think that really works? Do you think it ever works? Do you think there's a guy who's planning on going out and putting open a can of whoop-ass in a hospice? Who's decided, you know what? I'm going to put the Seal Club down, and I'm going to go ahead and tune into NPR tonight. Say, well, this is a little public radio. Maybe I'll read a good book. I got a bottle of Chardonnay I've been meaning to open. Really?
Yeah.
That's how it's going to work? No, it's just a bunch of feel-good crap. That's all we ever do.
Yeah.
But we never do the, hey, a-hole, don't call this number, call that number, you're going to get fined. All right. That's it. Okay. All right. We have another one, too, which is trying to convince illegals not to fall asleep on railroad tracks. That's the other one, too. It's like, look, when this thing comes down and the light flashes and the thing comes down and then the gate drops and the vault door closes, don't drive your pickup truck around it and try to race the train. That's that one, too. It's sort of, we have these sort of Darwinian ones where, like, we try to convince people not to kill themselves by doing retarded things. Okay. Let's take a little break here, Drew, and then some Germany and Florida.
Right,
I'll tell you when we come back, and then we got the accordion countdown. It's more show than we can squeeze into the next hour and 15 minutes. All that.
Certainly not that with any rants.
No. All that after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. All right. It's time to play the game. That is, let's take a little backseat to Ace's Mexican Ranchero accordion countdown. But it's always number one in our hearts. Yes, Drew?
Things are sick and twisted from too much sun and Nazis. Sex, meth, and death fetishes. Both of them have got these. guaranteed not to bore you, Germany or Florida.
And I think it's that theme that puts it over the top.
Time for another big round of Germany or Florida. John?
Hey, Adam, Andrew.
What's happening, John? Brother man?
All right. Looking for Germany or Florida on the internet tonight. Oh,
thank
before
you.
I say this, the Ranchero Countdown, mm-hmm. I can understand why it's sweeping the nation. I like it a lot, too. But what I think it lacks is audience participation, like Germany or Florida. I think
Ooh.
You should have a caller come in and play it with
Ooh.
You.
John, touche.
Wow.
What I'd an like excellent to you on Ranchero, on Aces.
Well,
on
just since you pointed that out, I think we had the
okay.
gauntlet is down, Adam.
And let me say this, too. First off, John, 17, greenhorn. Secondly, calling from Chicago knows nothing about Ranchero music, where I've had it rammed up my ass for the last 30 years in this city.
Adam.
Guys next door. And all I hear all day is Ranchero music.
All right.
I just built a castle right next to my little white trash home.
All right. You think you know. All right, just for that, we're going to play a round with you, John. And you know what? It's going to be winner take all.
And by the way, Adam, I've told you, nothing says Chicago in the winter like Ranchero music.
That's true.
Nothing.
All right. All right, John, give us your Germany or Florida, and then we'll play a round of Ace's Mexican Ranchero Countdown.
All right, this will take a little tiny bit less than a minute, but there's a couple good quotes towards the end. All right. An artist has written to local zoos asking if they would feed his body to piranhas once he's dead. The 56-year-old said he came up with the idea after reading.
Did you say local zoos or Zulus?
Zoos.
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 Local
okay.
zoos. All right, keep All right. going.
Yeah, it'd be cool if Zulus had piranhas. Huh? The 56-year-old said he came up with the idea after reading about another man who wanted to be fed the snails. The artist said he liked the idea but wanted something that would gobble him up a bit quicker.
Mm-hmm.
He justifies his appeal by saying it could have educational purposes if, for example, it was done in front of a group of biology students. Here's a couple of neat quotes.
Yeah.
At least one zoo director said, even if he agreed, it would probably not work. He said, it's a great idea, but if you want to carry it out for educational purposes, then it would be better if you were to fed to the piranhas alive. They're not as keen on dead flesh. The artist, however, is still hoping to hear from other zoos that may be more open to his proposal. He said, they could always poke my body with sticks to get me moving and get the fish interested.
Okay. Well, okay. Listen, I know what this one is.
Really?
An hour in advance.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Germany.
I was thinking Germany, too, but the poking with sticks and...
It's Germany.
Piranhas.
Yep, that is.
Germany.
Okay. All right.
Right. I'm going Germany. True?
I'll have to go with you.
All right. Germany.
Germany.
Right. Yeah. Like, first off, I don't think we have piranhas in zoos. Secondly...
Piranhas don't eat... Don't do what they're alleged to do.
I know.
The allegations, you know, the movie version is somebody sticks his hand in, they pull out a skeleton.
That's right.
pull out their bones.
Right.
No. Piranhas, like... Chew on, gnaw on things.
Yeah,
like,
everything is more boring than what the movies make it out to be, and everything just turns, you know.
John's got a chance to take you on here.
All right. All right, John. Engineer Chris. That's my favorite part about this job is when I look over to Engineer Chris and he just sits there and looks at me. Yeah?
What's going on?
How we doing on Ranchero music?
Got it queued up.
Feel good, huh? All right, so I will cue you. Okay. Don't play it before that. John?
Yes?
Place your bet.
All right, place your bet, brother.
3.5 seconds.
3.5.
Why, these guys have break down the seconds.
All right, Drew.
You go ahead.
You have any thoughts?
No.
All right, I'm going. I've had a lot of luck with my 7 and 8 ones, but I'm going crazy. I'm going immediate.
And who was it? Well, that's what I wanted to do. But who was it that told us that what made you were talking about how it makes this difficult? There's no teaming up on this one.
Yeah.
You can't arrive at a consensus.
You can't agree with anybody.
All right, I'm going to go in between. 2 seconds.
2 seconds for Drew. All right, now, I will count you down. You ready, Chris? 3, 2... Oh, no, wait a minute.
No,
I passed.
No.
Okay, we'll go... Well, you want to go in 5 or you want to go...
Double zero.
All right, you ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, Chris. Heard that, Chris.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there we go. It's about 8 seconds.
Yeah. Oh. All right, let it play. All right, listen, buddy, you won. John won because, first off, it's hard to tell because Chris's cue.
It started at 4.
It started at 4.
It started at 4.
On 4 seconds?
Yeah, and then it was 12 and the recording kicked in. Yeah.
7.5, 8 seconds.
I can't control the CD player, man.
Okay, buddy.
No, that goes without saying.
No ass. All right, so, John.
Yeah?
You won because I went 0. Drew went two, and as it turns out, it was my beloved 7 or 8 seconds that it landed on.
We need
Thank
a new
God
rule.
I started out by saying I've had a lot of luck with 7 or 8.
It's true.
Thus, I'll go zero.
We need a new rule where we got to make a little more like Price is Right, whereas if you pass, you're
Well, John is underneath at 3.5.
No. Yeah, you're right. All right,
buddy. Touché. But a very, very good point you bring up there, Drew, which is no point. All right, John, you won, buddy. What can I say? You not only did you have a superb Germany or Florida, but you came in here and you mopped up. And by the way, two formidable foes in Drew and myself, who are seasoned aces, Mexican, Ranchero, according to Countdown players. You came in and you mopped up the floor with them. God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
You're going to be the hit of high school.
Enjoy that Ranchero Monday. Music all winter long.
Please. It's wonderful. Warms the cockles of the heart and makes you want to kill yourself. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Feeling pretty good about myself after the Germany or Florida and then the Ranchero Accordion Countdown kicked in and pow.
Yeah, we messed that one completely. I blame Chris.
I can pick
a better song next time.
I blame Chris.
It's not typical. We need typical Ranchero.
No, that was Ranchero.
The typical Ranchero does not go 3 seconds without an accordion.
Let me explain something. Okay.
Right?
No. Touche.
It was from her CD. So
it's a valid point. It's a valid point. But let me say this, Drew. Let me tell you what a true champion does. He doesn't complain. He doesn't argue. He doesn't point fingers. He doesn't make excuses. Does not judge. And let me tell you something. I always like these adages. When you point a finger, there's four more pointing back at you. I like that one. One is, first off, there's not four more because my thumb isn't turned back toward. My thumb is actually going toward the person I'm pointing at. If you really think about your thumb.
It's going towards heaven anyway.
Yeah, it's certainly going the direction Fonzie's goes. It ain't coming back toward you at all. And then the other ones that are pointing back, first off, I'm not sure what that means.
I always thought it meant if you point at somebody, judge not lest ye be judged. I think it does.
It's just one of those retardo-isms that people like to throw out there. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything. And by the way, does it count when you're pointing, let's for instance, you're helping someone park their car or they're backing a van up or something and you're pointing?
I immediately see four fingers come back.
Back, so you usually would actually, you would drive toward the person then.
Right.
Instead of the direction
yes,
they're
of course,
pointing.
Of course.
Because it's a 4-to-1 thing. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how that works.
All right.
Here we go.
You ready to hop on the phones here?
Yes.
No, come on. Lesbian.
Come on.
Lesbian.
No, no.
Lesbian.
Next.
60,
next.
60,
next.
Shut
next.
Up. 65 minutes on hold.
Okay.
Oh, shut up. And don't pout now. Lindsay? See? Lindsay, for the love of Christ, you've been on hold for 65 minutes. I'm in a good mood, so I thought I would talk to you and put you out of your misery. Are you there? All right. Now, did she fall asleep? Yeah, and don't give me that crap. We should get rid of her if we don't want to get rid of her. I don't want someone on hold for 2 hours. They've already been on hold for over an hour.
Okay. I think a policy ought to be if somebody's been on hold more than an hour, they ought to be
Yeah, but then it's released. Sad because they've been on hold for an hour and they don't even get to talk to anybody. Okay. It's like calling 911. All right. Now, Lindsay is calling from Little Rock and probably fell asleep. So I guess we should just cast her to the wind. Daniel. No, wait a minute. Danielle. What's happening, baby doll?
Hi. When I first started having sex, I was used to be able to have orgasms in every position relatively quickly, and now I have I can really only have orgasms when I'm in missionary and when I have to tighten my muscles in my legs.
Are you on medication?
No.
No birth control pill?
Well, yes, I'm sorry. I'm on ortho-tricycline.
Some people notice a diminish. They can have
really?
Diminished drive and or change in the orgasmic function. It's not particularly common what you're describing, but that can happen. Has it been associated with when you started the pill?
No. This just started happening maybe like 2 years ago, and I've been on the pill for about maybe 5 years.
Okay. Hmm. And you didn't change the type of pill 2 years
no.
ago?
No.
Okay.
Is that the commercial where all the chicks are dancing?
It must be.
Yeah. They're by the way, the whole thing, like all these birth control and herpes and all this, they're doing everything but getting laid. Everything but doing what the stupid pill is for. And there's never a dude even close. They're just out doing. They're standing in front of a tarp that's been covered with paint, and they're spinning a ribbon around in slow motion. Like, what? Hey, baby, get on your back, would you? Let's put this pill to work.
Well, speaking of being on the back, that's what Danielle now is stuck with.
Yeah.
And are you with the same guy through all this?
Yes.
Since this, so it's in over this 2 years. How long have you been with this guy?
7 years.
7 years.
Uh oh. Magic wand. The power of the magic wand may be wearing off.
Amazing.
Oh, really?
Well, like you said, the wand may be diminishing. But how often are you guys having sex?
Yes.
How often?
Maybe 4 to 5 times a week.
Wow. Maybe. 7 years.
Maybe you try a little abstinence. Like let it build up a little
Hold
bit.
On.
See if you have an easier time of
I've
it.
I've just done the math. They've been together for 7 years.
I know.
He's giving it to her 4 or 5 times a week. Imagine where he was in month 2 of the relationship.
Where he was in terms of how often you meet?
Yeah.
Wow.
What are you doing, 128 times a week? We're down to just 6 times now. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, seriously, 7 years, you got 4 or 5 times a week going after 7 years? Wow. Yeah. I wonder if they were at some crazy number. Danielle?
Yes.
Where were you
month two?
Month two of the relationship, sex-wise?
We were in a long-distance relationship. We went to 2 different universities, so...
But when did you finally get together?
About
3 days.
2 years ago.
No, it was 2000. So
4 years ago.
All
right. And so what was the number when you finally hooked up regularly?
When we saw each other every day?
Yes.
Well, when we first saw each other every day, it was like...
All right. That's every day. 5 times a day. But here's the other thing, too. You can't count. It's not a 7-year relationship. You didn't see each other for the first 3 years.
It's a 3-year relationship.
Or 4-year, whatever it is. All right. Try that again.
It may just be, you know, settling into their rhythm. It's not as though they're not into each other. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just things do sort of become less novel and less arousing as people get used to things.
Yeah.
And for her, maybe it was more exciting at the beginning. That's why it was more apt to be multi, you know, whatever position. Now she's just down to one position. And also still... her rhythm may be different than his. She may need a couple days in between.
Mm-hmm.
And she's never giving herself that chance to kind of recharge the battery, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And just try, see what happens if you take a week off and then get back and see where you are.
Right. They are advertising these birth control pills like crazy now.
The patches and stuff?
Patches, and they're doing the pills, too. Yeah. Like the... triphasic pills or whatever the hell. I can, whenever it's a feminine product, I have to sit there and get out my slide rule to figure out what part of the vagina we're talking about.
Right.
What's going on? Is there an infection? Right. Are we getting it on? Is there a breakout?
Are we preventing pregnancy?
Is it a tampon? Is there a mess in the underpants? We'll never know, by the way, from the commercial. I have to wait for the disclaimer at the end. That's the only way I can tell. When they start talking about projectile vomiting and acid ass flux reflux and stuff, and then I start realizing it's a pill. But in the meantime, it's a Benetton of ethnicities at the Potter's Wheel, doing a little mountain biking, doing a little Tai Bo and some kickboxing, maybe working out. Never a dude in sight. Never.
Well, but we got to remember, here's the deal. Adam, think about this. They are marketing to women.
That's right.
And what women respond
to. They don't need a dude.
But here, what women respond to, and I think about this, is women having experiences.
Yeah.
Women doing things, seeing a woman, they're attracted and aroused by women having these idealized experiences. That's me.
Yeah.
That's where I'll be.
Look at me.
Take this pill, I'll be in the Tai Bo expert.
I'm gonna take the birth control pill and then make that ashtray on the Potter's Wheel I've always been looking to make.
Yeah, I think it's why women aren't so aroused. It's sort of how the wiring works with porn, too, because when women are aroused by porn, sometimes they're more aroused by what's happening to the woman. They're looking at a woman having a pleasurable experience. That's arousing.
Yeah.
Be like the guy, as a guy watching the porn and being interested in the guy, whatever the guy's doing.
Yeah. Only Chris does that.
No.
Not even Chris. No. Can't afford porn. But if he could, that's what he'd be watching.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of chicks doing nothing and not sure, but they're sort of hot. But I'll tell you one thing there's two things you'll never see. You'll never see in any of those commercials.
Yeah.
You'll never see a dude anywhere around, and you'll never see a chick with a halfway decent rack on her. It's always very modestly chest. Always attractive. Beautiful.
It's for
beautiful.
Because that's me.
Right. Beautiful.
That's, yeah, it's for women.
Beautiful. Beautiful eyes. Beautiful eyes. Very sensible haircuts.
Women like that.
They like that.
Her. They like who they're
no,
looking
at. Have a good rack. No. Never a good rack. No, that would be
just,
wrong.
It's not
no.
for good.
It's not, it's
for
not sexual.
Because if they see that. You know what the thing? That bitch.
Just show some guy. Right? Show some guy.
It's off-putting to a woman.
Show some guy in like tight pants with a Pine Mountain log shoved in there, just walking in slow motion at the camera. Black dude.
And
it's a baseline.
That's going to make a guy feel good?
I'm just saying. I don't know.
Just saying what?
Alexa?
Hi.
You're 19? It'd be great, Drew, if you ever saw any commercial that was ever on TV.
Yeah, it would be nice, huh?
It would be nice.
Please,
would you please let something in. I have TiVo, too. Just let something in.
You should watch it like some sort of robot.
In. Let something in. Please. I had to explain to Drew on our long car ride back from our calendar signing that once in a while there's something that Drew says he hasn't seen that I know he's seen, and it takes me...
Turn the volume down.
Thank you. It takes 20 minutes for me to explain to him that he's seen it, but then he eventually sees it. And it takes a big man to admit when I'm right, though. Go ahead, Alexa.
Hi. Well, I think you guys should have, like, a love line, sort of fake line, where they just call them as, like, a recording thing. You know, close your legs or stop doing drugs. And that way you'll get less bogus calls, and you guys can take more real calls.
Mm. So like
like my 911 idea.
Or virtual Adam. A virtual Adam.
Ooh.
That would be a really good idea.
Well, I'm sure our crack staff is going to snap onto that any second now. Yeah. All right.
Anyhow.
Okay. By the way, you want to talk about the love line, by the way. It took me 3.5 years to get from powdered milk to real milk. In the studio.
For coffee.
I had to threaten to quit at a certain point. So if you just want to know how the sledding goes, we got a security guard because I threatened to quit. We got Move Studios. Why, Drew?
You threatened to quit.
And we got coffee that wasn't from the 55-gallon drum of smart vinyl that we collect out of the dumpster behind the sittins. Because why, Drew?
You threatened to quit.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Alexa?
Yeah.
Sorry. What's the question?
Go ahead.
Well, I get these shooting pains in my vagina, like, and it, like, hurts, like, to the top of my leg, and I don't think that that's normal, and it's, like, to the point where I can't, like, move, like, I kind of tense up, and I'm wondering, is that...
When do you get the pain?
Randomly. Not often, maybe once every couple of months, but, I mean, it's very intense. It almost feels like contractions.
It radiates into your leg, though.
Yeah, just to the top, not to, like, go down to my knee, but just, like, into where my thigh meets, like, my pelvis. And they're very, very painful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, have you had this checked out?
No, I don't have health insurance, and I don't want to pay $500 for a hospital visit, and I don't like clinics because they're kind of dirty.
Mm-hmm.
How about pay $55 and go see a doctor?
Really?
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Really? I really didn't know that.
You could do that.
Yeah. You call a doctor, you make an appointment, it'll be about $55 to $75. Yes. That's how you do that. Yes.
I just had to pay $2,500 because Ozzy, my carpenter guy,
you tell the doctor. The hospital.
Yeah.
But you call, go see a doctor, you call and make an appointment. Oh, wait, I have to talk to Alexa. You can tell the doctor when you go in, look, I'm paying cash, I have very limited resources. Can we just limit it testing and just can you figure out what's going on here with a physical exam only? And that's what you do, Alexa. Okay?
Okay.
You see a gynecologist or an internist. That's all you got to do. But listen, the deal is the pain in the leg is probably what's called the round ligament. And that can be either from a uterine source or even a fallopian tube source. You may have a tube infection. Even sometimes ovarian cysts. So it's something that definitely needs to be looked into. It's not in your back, though. It doesn't go down the back of the buttock, that kind of thing.
In between my legs.
Yeah, yeah. And have you ever had a pelvic infection of any kind?
No, but I had a baby. Does that have anything to do with it?
How long ago?
2 years ago.
And you've had it ever since then?
Yeah. Well, no, not like ever since. It's probably been about a year now. I don't remember having it before I had the baby.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm still can't get over the fact that you guys don't know you can just go see a doctor.
Listen, I didn't have insurance, I didn't have money, I would never go to a doctor, ever.
I'm just saying.
Go to a clinic.
Why not just go to a doctor? This is what the PSA needs to be
about. What doctor? What do you do? Open the phone book?
Open the phone book. Any doctor. You'd make them first available appointment. That's it. Boom.
Really? Absolutely. Yeah, they, I mean, you go in there and you talk to them, and it's like what you get talking to you. Talk to them for 10 minutes.
Yeah, but he can do a
physical
exam. If I could do the exam on Alexa, I could tell her what's going on.
No, it'd be another visit. Come back and bring your wallet. That's
for what?
Well,
you don't have time for that. It's like you do what you do, and then you go on with it.
Yeah. All I know is...
That's weird that people don't.
Nobody. Look, if you don't have insurance, you don't go see doctors.
But then they go to the emergency room and it costs $5,000. You go to see the doctor's office, it's $55.
I know, they go into the emergency room. Yeah.
That is absurd.
Nobody knows, including myself, that you can.
What would prevent them? Why wouldn't you be able to go to a doctor?
Because here's how people think. Huh. People think that you either have an insurance policy, you have Kaiser or something like that, and so you have insurance, or you just have your own family doctor, or if you don't have either one of those things, you go to the emergency hospital or to the clinic. So if you get sick, you go to the clinic if you don't have insurance or you don't have a family doctor.
How do you get the family doctor? But open the phone book and get the family doctor.
Yeah, these are people whose, you know, it was their pediatrician, it was their parents set it up, whatever it is.
Nobody thinks
to open the phone book and go get a doctor. And they do think if I just walk in like that, they're going to need, you know, it's going to be, first of all, it's going to be, you know, mounds of paperwork followed by bunches of money just to, you know, actually get the first consultation.
The money is the drugs and the hospital.
Right.
That's where the money goes. Or if you need a procedure.
Right.
You see a doctor, it's less than a plumber.
Really?
Less than
$5.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, everybody. Just open the phone book. Just what? What do you open
internal
it to?
Internal medicine, family practice.
Will you look under internal medicine?
Yeah.
You look under doctors?
Physicians. Look for the type.
Take me 20.
Now,
I'd still be
because
a doctor.
A lot of doctors are too busy. They don't have room for extra people. But people that are taking new patients, people that are starting out practices, aren't overwhelmed by HMOs and all that crap. Which, by the way, this whole business of doctors are going to mill you. No, doctors make money in HMOs by seeing you less.
Right.
The less they see you, the better it is for them.
Right.
So they're happy to see a cash pay patient that they could see and actually spend a little time with.
Yeah.
Happy to do it.
All right. Well, I got my buddy Ozzy, who's been working at my house for a little while, got sick.
I saw him when he was sick. What I did for him would have cost about $35.
You saw him?
At your house.
How did you see him?
At your house.
What were you doing?
Walking through.
Oh, really?
He grabbed me. Look at my throat. Oh, doctor, my tonsillitis.
No. This was vomiting and stuff.
I'm just saying.
This is another time.
I saw him once.
Oh, okay. Well, there's another time. This is funny. So he's like, I'm vomiting. I'm at work, and he calls me. I'm sick. I'm vomiting. I'm going to call an ambulance. And I'm like,
ambulance?
Ozzy's got a little novella in him.
Oh, my God.
He's got a little Mexican soap in him. I said, Ozzy, you got the flu. You got either food poisoning or the flu.
That's right.
Put your feet up on the sofa. Drink some fluids. Ride it out. When you feel good enough, drive yourself home. Put your feet back up again. I'm sick. I want to go to the hospital. I know the guy doesn't have insurance. You know, I said, this is going to cost you hundreds of dollars. You know, I mean,
thousands of dollars. You walk in an emergency room, it's thousands of dollars.
The guy has a family. The guy has four kids. He lives in a little apartment. I'm his only source of income. I pay him decently, but not enough for that kind of stuff. I said, Ozzy, what are you doing? And by the way, everyone listen. There's two things you don't go to the emergency hospital for. You want to, but you don't. Okay.
What's the problem with the healthcare system? People don't know how to use it.
All right. Don't get outraged because I'm outraged. So I'm going to get outraged.
Okay,
and
please.
Then you can get outraged.
Please.
Two things. First off, everyone twists their ankle, turns their ankles. It blows up like a puffer fish, and they hobble into the emergency room. It's never broken. Never. Here's what it is. It's a bad sprain. So it's a bad sprain. Okay, listen. Take some Advil. Take some ibuprofen. Put it up. Put some ice on it. And then hot, cold. I like this one. Stay off it. And by the way, they got to ask what you did. What were you doing? I was shooting it. Okay, well, no. Okay, thanks. Okay, but listen. Here's what. Then, okay. $800 later, there you go.
Right. And the follow-up? The follow-up is tomorrow, see the orthopedic surgeon.
Right.
How about skip the ER, go right to the ortho. They always have x-ray equipment. Cost you about $200, and that's it, as opposed to the $2,000 going to the emergency room.
Let me just explain the rolled ankle, no matter how ugly, no matter how swollen,
I've done it many times. I know, but you can fracture.
I've done it where it looked like it needed to be removed.
That's
like
the problem. Sometimes they need an operation that day.
Yeah, sometimes when the bone's sticking out.
Yeah.
But look, I'm talking to people who don't have insurance who need to play the odds.
go to an orthopedic surgeon's office.
If you don't hear the thing crack, it ain't broken. Go home, put ice on it, and whatever you got to do to it, look, if it's still killing you in 2 days, go do it. They'll put a cast on it. That's the way. There's almost nothing that can't wait a couple days. And by the way, you getting an elevator and putting ice on is the best thing you can do anyway. Okay, number one. Number two, if you start vomiting, you get the shivers, you got the flu. Stay home.
Yeah, basically for an adult, the emergency room is supposed to be for you can't breathe, you have chest pain, or your sensorium, your mental status has changed.
Right. So,
or a major trauma, something like that. That's about it. Little babies and for very old people, it's different. For average age, that's it. That's
now,
it.
Here's the problem. I'm the only guy telling everyone to go home, and then I seem like a prick because everyone's like, oh my God, we should call an ambulance. Are you, I think I'm going to vomit again. Oh, sweet, you got temperature. We got to get you in. And by the way, you go to the emergency room, you sit around for 3 hours in between hobos who are vomiting, and then you go in, and it's the same thing. Take it easy, lots of fluid, and then there's this caveat too. If it's still going on, then come back. Okay. But you could have eliminated that step. But by the way, when you're feeling like fried hell, do you really want to just sit there under fluorescent lights and vomit into a trash can for 4 hours clogging up the system with some bull dyke nurse and those horrible shoes? Okay, here's my point. So I said, Ozzy, listen. Look, you got the flu or you got food poison. Whatever you got, you're just going to go sit in an ambulance and go sit in the thing, and then the guy's going to give you some aspirin. And it's going to be $1,300 later. Yeah. Just go home and relax. Okay, perfect. You don't have the money. You can't afford it. Just go home and relax. If it gets really bad, you can go. It's fine. I think he goes home. 2 days later, he missed a couple days of work, and then he comes in 2 days later, and he's like, I need to borrow $2,500. I said, why? What for? I went to the emergency room, and I went, and it got like a GI scan or whatever, a CAT scan, and an ambulance ride. It was this was $900, this was $1,100, this was $1,300, so I need $2,500.
I hope you roundly abused him.
No, I gave him the $2,500.
No, I mean, but also give a little.
But I told him, what are you doing? Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. Yeah. It was funny, though. 3 days earlier.
Let me 100% clear. I would, for $55, he could have gone to see a doctor and would have gotten an adequate workup in the guy's office.
Nobody knows that. Everyone goes to the emergency room. Any problems, they go to the emergency room. But the thing that's ironic is 3 days earlier, I was saying, you can't afford this. And then I realized, oh, yeah, I can. I'm going to pay for it. But, yeah, you don't get anything. He had the flu.
Okay. Well, if the doctor who sees you actually deems it to be an emergency, then you go.
All right.
Then
you go. People do not know that, Drew. They just know either they have insurance or if they don't, they go down the emergency room. That's what they do.
Wow.
All right. Eye-opening, yes?
Oh.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Really?
Hey, everybody. Loveline. Drew said they have medicine to make me stop vomiting if I get sick, and then he told me it'd be in suppository form.
At which point you started tingling or something. You had a reaction.
Well, I thought you were joking, and then I thought, well, maybe if you're vomiting, everything that goes in, you got to put something up the tukai.
A shot or a tukai.
All right. How about you get me some of that vomit stuff so next time, I get the flu, I'm just kind of vomit.
They don't stay on the shelf for a long.
Oh, really? Yeah. I'll just keep taking it. Oh, I don't want the suppository.
Would you take the pill you vomit? That's the point.
How about something I rub into my eye?
Tukai. There, that'll be the eye you get. It'll be the tukai.
How do you get stuff up your ass? I mean it. I've never put anything up there. What do you do?
I know it's for you. It's like trying to search out the mouth of Santa Claus.
Does it come with a tool?
No, it's the index finger. But, or your wife can do it.
I can't get her water the effing pots. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I swear to God, I can't get her water the pots. Yeah. You think she's going to put something up my ass? Does it come with lube?
They're designed to go right on in.
No
lube?
They slip
right in. They're kind of lubey to begin with. They're waxy.
Oh, really? Wow.
You go right in. Grab and then they dissolve, like, choom, they just go.
Oh, yeah. It's weird that goes right in you, too.
Yeah. We kind of, there's sort of a certain amount of.
Oh, there's a little tide. A little riptide. It's got its own gravity. Really? It'll suck it up.
A little bit.
Wow. Is that how guys get stuff stuck in there? I mean, that's sort of suck it up?
Kinda, yeah, there's a spat, yeah. Wink response, it's called anal wink.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, if you get a splinter, it'll push its way out.
Yeah.
But this is sort of the opposite. This will suck it in.
Yeah.
Hmm. This is like that tractor ray that the Star Trek thing will get caught in every once in a while. Well, it gets like sucked into a ship.
It's the thing that cuts off your...
Right. Right. Sand? Pow. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Amulet has been a hole for a long time. Yeah. Went offline, then back on.
My anus is different, though. It's like the mouth of a squid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's got a beak.
Oh.
Snap your finger off.
Wow. Yeah, you have to be careful there.
Yeah.
You know, you're putting that waxy...
Pow.
Waxy suppository up there.
Yeah. It's tough. What's her name? A Melinda? A Malmalala?
Amalda?
Call her?
Amelinda.
There we go.
Amelinda.
Yeah.
Ew. What's happening?
I'm 17 now, and I haven't had my period. I want to know if I should, get that checked or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised your parents haven't taken you to have that checked. Do you talk about these things with your mom?
No.
No.
Wow. Do you see a doctor for any reason at all?
Yeah.
What for?
Well, once I went to the doctor because, I had sex, and so I went to the doctor to, get tested, but then...
You had sex?
She had sex.
We can't hear you, Amelinda. You've got to speak up.
Okay, I went to the doctor because I had sex once, and I didn't, talk to my mom about it or anything. That's all.
How old were you?
17.
Okay. Are you normal stature, normal height?
No.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'1" right now.
Do you have normal hair distribution, pubic hair and hair under your arm, that sort of thing?
No.
You don't? So you're really not developing for some reason. And that it's not as though you've developed secondary characteristics but just never started your period. And there are many different reasons that can happen. You can even lack a uterus. There can be a problem with the uterine function. There can be ovarian dysfunction. There can be pituitary dysfunction. But the fact that you're not growing, not developing, is in a way more complex and in a way perhaps more reassuring, because once you do get your pubertal growth spurt, then you will start having your period. You may just be a late
bloomer,
so to speak. But you do at 17, you absolutely should be having secondary. Do you have breasts?
No.
Okay, you've got to see a doctor.
All right, well,
it's time.
This call's over.
You need. I know you can't talk to her.
I can't.
That's hard for you. Out of my nose.
It's difficult.
But she may get them someday. She may.
Well, then she can call back.
And so you do need to see it. You may need some genetic testing. There are all kinds of things that can produce this.
Mm-hmm.
I would see an endocrinologist, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you need to see.
Well, she should go in and just see her family doctor first.
You start with that if you want, and then ask for a referral, because you definitely need some more workup than just a general doctor can do.
All right.
That's actually an interesting problem.
It is.
A lot of different things.
She doesn't sound like she's...
She sounds underdeveloped.
Turn the corner.
No,
but
why not? Why hasn't she had the pubertal development?
That entered puberty, right?
That's what it sounds like.
All right, let's talk to Jennifer over here. I feel bad for her. Jennifer, you're 25.
Yep.
What's up?
I had a boyfriend for about 4 or 5 years, and we broke up. It was kind of a screwy breakup, and I just can't seem to get over it. I went back and I slept with him on and off, and even though I knew he had a girlfriend, I continued to see him, and, you know, he played like we were just really, really good friends. He cared about me and, asked about the family and how I was and all that, and I finally got to a point where I'm like, all right, this is enough, but, it's just so difficult for me to walk away.
How long ago did you finally put the axe down?
4 days ago.
Oh,
wow. It's almost been a week, a work week. It should be way behind you.
You haven't given yourself any chance to get over or mourn this loss.
Yeah.
It's going to take you at least 6 months. And the way you've been torturing yourself, it may take you a year.
I've been going back to him. We actually broke up a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Hey, Jennifer. Jennifer, every time you go back to him, the clock resets. It starts all over again. You have to have no contact with him for a while.
This is the part that's the hardest thing. I can't seem to cut it off. I can't seem to be okay, I'm never calling again, because I'll just wake up one morning and suddenly the fingers start dialing and the phone goes.
Well, then it's like a heroin addict. Then you're using again. Your sobriety date starts all over again. You start, the clock immediately resets.
You need a sponsor.
Yeah. So if you can't,
some kind of pill you can take. They help heroin addicts with a pill.
No, heroin. No, they don't help heroin addicts with a pill. They help heroin addicts with support from other people.
Yeah.
And you can begin to develop other supportive relationships. And if that doesn't work, if you can't do this, you got to get a therapist.
Well, Jennifer,
mm-hmm.
what is so wonderful about this guy other than you guys hooked up early and he got under your skin?
It was just one of those things where it was like, this was like the best friend and like the brother and the boyfriend and everything rolled into one. And it was almost to the point where like we from the moment we met, we were like, all right, this is what the rest of our lives are going to be like. And so
how old
head,
were you? How old were you? How old were you when your dad took off?
Mm-mm.
He was never there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I bet you were like one or something.
I've never really actually met my dad till I was 16.
Right. But how, he was never even at the very beginning involved in your life?
No, not at all.
What happened? What was the story with your mom and your dad?
My mom and my dad hooked up. My mom thought it was like love at first sight. They were going to get married the whole nine. And he went through some relationship issues. And when he found out my mom was pregnant, he ran for the hills. And
all right.
He stayed in Colorado. My mom was in California and had a kid on her own.
Mm-hmm. And you met him at 16.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who committed suicide when I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
My mother decided that for me to deal with this, the best way for me to get over it would be to do like an Outward Bound program.
Uh-huh.
So I did that, and while on the program, like I just started thinking all these thoughts and realized that I was in Colorado. And one of the women, when I finished, it said, "Oh, well, Colorado, your dad there will tell you right. That's 14, 15 minutes away from where we're going to finish our trip. If you want to, give him a call."
Wow. Dad's living in Telluride. Nice country up there.
Why did you...
By the way, let me explain Outward Bound for those who don't know what Outward Bound. Outward Bound is the Job Corps for white people.
Mm.
It's when there's screw-ups and they're blonde-haired, they send them Outward Bound.
I see.
So they hike around. And they slide down the rope thing with the pulley on it and stuff like that. They do that. When they're from the inner city, we send them to put out forest fires.
I see.
Same thing. We got to get them into nature. One of them's a little more campy, and the other's more involved with
actually more productive.
Replanting trees and digging and stuff. Yeah. One of them's a little bit of a work camp. The other one's a little more of a camping trip. But either way, screwed up teens, they hit the Sierras. Send them
I
out.
I smell drugs and alcohol, too. Was she doing drugs?
Really?
She went to the Outward Bound.
Jennifer?
Yep.
Why were you doing any drugs?
I was a bit of a drug person way back when, yeah.
Before the Outward Bound.
No. Outward Bound. Your mom sent you to Outward Bound because you're getting in a lot of trouble and you were doing drugs.
It was a combination of things.
Yeah, it was a combination of things. I know, but it's like my friend died.
Yeah.
So my mom sent me to Outward Bound?
Right. No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, no way.
It'd be awesome. Somebody kills themselves. I'm not done mourning. No, I'm sorry. Pack your canteen. You're heading for the Sierras.
Yeah. So Jennifer's got a long and involved history here.
All right.
Is not just a simple, I can't get over my boyfriend. You've had a drug history. You have abandonment issues. You have an obsessional relationship with your boyfriend. An addictive, literally it's an addictive relationship, but it's a compulsive relationship.
Yeah.
Jennifer, come on. Let's get going here.
I'm at least going to admit to the fact that it's quasi-impulsive. But, like, I mean, what do you do when you get to a point where you've at least realized that it's maybe a compulsive need for another human being? Like, how do you kick a habit like that?
Well, you have to assert some control over yourself. And that's like a muscle you have to build up and strengthen. Well, you're going to need some therapy, too.
Yeah, it's relationships with other people. It's real connection with other people, so you don't feel so empty and abandoned with this idealized relationship has left you behind. This is not a relationship. This is a facsimile of a relationship. You think you're having a relationship with a guy who merely feels sort of guilty and sympathetic for you and sort of kind of strings things along because you have some concern for how you're feeling. In the meantime, he's gone on with his life.
Mm-hmm.
You have not.
Right.
And now if you're doing drugs and alcohol as a part of this also, you might want to get a 12-step program. That'd be a perfect solution. If you're not, then get a therapist.
Yeah.
It's just not, or else just stop. Go ahead,
right.
Go ahead and stop. By the way, anybody that says, why do you always say it's a therapist? Hey, if you want to just
stop,
go ahead and stop. But
thank
if you can't, that's when help is needed.
Mm-hmm. I should have done that Outward Bound when I was like 19.
I think you basically did that, but you did it with a
carpet wand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
That's sort of Outward Bound for you, wasn't it?
Yeah. Instead of doing the John Muir Trail, I went out to a colony kitchen in Conejo and cleaned it with a couple guys from south of the border. Yeah. Yeah, it was enriching.
Exposed you to different cultures.
Yeah.
You even got some religious fundamentalism in the mix.
That was installing closets.
Oh,
but
yeah. Well, that was part of the Outward Bound experience for you.
Yeah.
It started with the wand, ended with the...
It was great. I really had a chance to work with some real delights. When I was cleaning carpets, it was mostly guys that didn't speak any English. With one brother named Everlast, who ended up Murder One was his rap. He actually went to my boss's apartment and heard his pleads on his answering machine to get him out of jail. He walked into a bar and shot a guy.
Didn't you tell me about some death ride with Everlast one time?
Everlast used to like to smoke joints and drive about 90. He didn't have a driver's license.
And the car was road safe for about 35.
The same van, the wheel fell off while Everlast was on the way out to another colony kitchen of some Tony Roma's cleaner room.
Outward Bound, that's what I'm talking
about. Yeah, there's that, that group, and then later on I got trapped with the Born Again Christians installing closets, which, again, less to talk about with those folks.
But you learned tongues?
Did have Frank, the guy with the tattoo on his neck and the teardrop, break into tongues every once in a while. Shandala, shandala!
Maybe it was Chief Thunderbird speaking through him.
Oh.
Yeah, we first were exposed to him.
Cracking the Bible, asking for traveling mercy before we took off in the van.
Well, when Everlast driving, wouldn't you? You should have been asking for the same.
Different van. This is the
same driver?
No. Well, God was driving both vans, as I turned out later. One was a cube truck.
What does that mean?
It's just like one of those big square cube trucks.
Vans,
you know, it's like like a van, but it's got a big cube in the back of it. I would go to sleep in the back of the cube. And by the way, you know it's a bad job, but it's like, oh, man, where are we going? Oh, we're going to Orange County. Wow, it's like an hour drive. Great. I'm going in the back of the cube. I'm going to take the furniture pads, the closets are rolled up in. I'll make a little blanket for myself, and I'll just go to bed, and you guys just lock me in the back of the cube. So I'll be back here. I'll just be breathing the carbon monoxide. You guys be sharing the good word in the... Oh, no, no, no. Oh,
these are the fundamentalists.
The fundamentalists, guys. Yeah. They're in the front with the Bible. I was in back with the furniture pads and the laminate.
That's all good times.
Oh, it's a great gig. Great gig.
Outward Bound.
$10 an hour.
Maybe we should make a sort of a program out of it. Like formalize it.
Yeah.
Operationalize it, make a program.
Fantastic.
Cube vans.
What a life. All right. Let's take a little break. By the way, Drew was probably on the beach of Laguna about that time.
I was a lifeguard,
getting a copious amounts of oral from...
No, about that time...
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. No, about that time... Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
That time I was already into my residency and stuff.
Racking up the candy stripers.
No.
We'll take a passionate man. Take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. Get it on. Rock on. Woo! Freak out! Woo! Freak out! Yeah! Yeah! Tell you what right now, boy. Freak out. Freak out. Get it on. Woo!
Little Germany or Florida.
Yes.
Here we go.
David?
Yeah.
17?
Yo. Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on, Dave?
Dude, I found this. Like, I was on the internet earlier, and this is, like, the worst thing I've ever heard of.
You're gay.
All right, well, we will determine whether it is Germany or Florida.
All right, police review policy after children shocked. Second child shocked with taser gun within weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Police have been acknowledged using a stun gun to immobilize a 12-year-old girl just weeks after an officer jolted a first grader with 50,000 volts.
Mm-hmm.
The police director...
It's Florida. That's Florida.
Yeah, it's got to be Florida.
Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hey, Adam... There's more to it. I don't know if you heard it, but
all right, well, keep going.
Well, I just thought you'd be interested in this after ranting about 911.
Mm-hmm.
The 6-year-old boy was shocked on the October 20th in the principal's office. The principal called.
Huh? 6-year-old. It's in a Florida school. 6-year-old went ballistic, and the cops gave him the taser.
Huh. But the principal called 911 after the child broke a picture in her office, waved a piece of glass holding a security guard back.
Mm-hmm.
kind of makes
well,
me think. Yeah,
yeah, whatever it is, kids should be allowed to express themselves, and we can't judge. That much I know.
Oh, yeah.
All right, and I'm guessing, and again, I don't want to be racist, but the kid Jewish? I'm guessing
I don't say.
Yeah, well,
you never know.
We can read between the lines. It's the work of a six-year-old Jew. Early bar mitzvah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
Oh, Adam, I just wanted to say you're doing an awesome job on, like, every show you've ever done, like, drawing together.
Thanks, buddy.
I haven't missed that, dude.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you like it.
How about Comedy
Central? Yeah, Comedy Central.
Yeah, strangely, though, the red-handed shows like that, forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Strangely.
Not by me.
Comedy Central, by the way, drawn together after South Park Wednesday nights, 10:30.
Yeah.
That's as far as much as I know. All right, we're going to keep rocking. Becca.
Yes.
28?
Yes.
What's up?
I have a boyfriend that I've been seeing for a little over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes watching porn, which I knew, but recently I found porn with transsexuals, so basically all men.
All men as women kind of thing?
Yes.
So not transsexuals.
No. Well, that is...
That's
post-op transsexual.
Do they have a penis?
Yes.
That's not transsexual.
That's not transsexual. That's transvestite.
Oh, well, the DVD cover said trannies, so I don't know, but it was...
Yeah.
They all have.
You know, here's the whole thing with porn. There's no sanctioning body. They get away with tons of
no
stuff.
No Geneva Convention on that?
It's just like, Minka's like Korean, but they make her Japanese.
Right.
And it's easier to do. Here's what they use in porn. It's a little something we call artistic license.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're very artistic, so what are you going to do?
Yeah. So that, I would, here's the whole thing. Here's the way I look at people. All right, here's what I'm going to say. Mm. When the health inspector comes into the pudding factory, he just samples a batch. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to take the whole. He just dips the thing in and takes it. And if he finds a little arsenic on his turkey baster, the whole batch is ruined. 500 gallons. Mm-hmm. It's no good. You know what I mean? I don't need to see everything. That's the way I am with people. I see a guy with the tranny porn. That's all I need to know about him. I know, oh, he's great with kids. Oh, no one knows. No one navigates the internet. No one knows computers. Like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Duh. Tranny porn. Tops all.
It trumps
everything.
But I don't know what... I honestly don't know what gets somebody into that. Who that guy is.
I don't know, but I'm breaking up with him.
Becca, do you know what... Can you tell us anything about your boyfriend? What he does for a living? That kind of thing?
Just in sales and...
Is the relationship been
right.
okay?
Drugs
and alcohol? Is there anything else going on?
Lots of alcohol.
Sales, by the way, means narcissist, sociopath, and a guy you'll never get the truth from. And look, people get mad when I say this, but all people in sales are flawed. There's something wrong with them. I've never met a guy who sells anything that's worth a damn. So some personality defect, and
and I've been trying to figure him out.
Not quite as bad as female realtors, but close.
That's sales.
Okay, well there you go.
Is he was he sexually abused growing up?
And not as far as I know. I've tried asking him everything I thought possible that might explain.
Is there anything about you that might explain why you're attracted to this guy?
I tend to be attracted to people that need help.
Right, you're a fixer. Well, you found
one. It sounds like the guy may be an alcoholic, and it sounds like there may be more to him than meets the eye.
It sounds like he was traumatized growing up somehow, and that you sort of feel that trauma, and you got to rescue him from it. That's sort of that source of attraction for codependent fixers like yourself.
Why don't you ask him? I mean, he's going to lie. Sales guys lie. Yeah. That's all they do is lie.
You got to come up with what happened. I found the stuff.
Sales guy ever like?
Yeah, scrambled.
No. Salespeople are people that A, can do nothing else, and B, want to sort of get in between a product and a consumer 99% of the time. Car guys are the worst. They're just sort of useless people. Like when the rapture comes, they're the first ones are gone. Where's the righteous like me? I'll be hanging out. I'll make it to like the fifth, sixth round before I catch on fire and burst into flames. But here's the whole thing about that tranny stuff. I never understood it. And it's the same thing I was asking Larry Flint when he was in here when there was that whole rash of Victorios where it's like, what percentage of your audience wants to see someone getting whizzed on? I pray.
It's the letter writing crowd.
Right. I pray it's a small minority. Same thing with, like, you open these magazines, you open these nudie magazines, you get to the back page, and I'm not talking about weird, you know, German stumpy, swanky stuff. I'm just talking about, like, Penthouse. You open the back. Every third advertisement is a hot chick with a ding-a-ling between her legs that they put there via computer, but you're still, it's disgusting because you have to sort of process it, and it looks pretty good with the computer stuff they do now, cut and paste, you know, and you're just looking down, and you're like, well, what the, oh, she's a, yeah, for the love of Christ. And then you think to yourself, really, that big a market? That big a guy? What, 40%? 35% of males like some breast and a honker? Really? What the hell is going on? Okay, I'm disgusted at all of you. I take a break. Even Chris got a puss on. Rarely agrees with me, but on this, we find common ground. Yes, my friend? All right, we'll be back after this. Bless you for listening tonight. We'll take a extendo break. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
I'm insane!